in the bank to worry about. How many like to try to worry about it for a while? Let me see your hand. Honestly, yeah. All right. I asked one of my cousins one time, he was a pastor, and I said, we was just kicking around the thought, this is years ago when $1 million was a lot of money. You've heard that statement. And I said, and we said, what would you do if you know you were given like $1 million today? And I'll never forget my cousin, the pastor, said, I'd pay it on my bills as far as it would go. That's the way it kind of seems sometimes around here, isn't it? That there's always a need for money and things. And by the way, just to praise on the well, yeah, we're almost there. And so our goal, and I want you to pray, our goal, we planted a little seed, Jan and I did last week, just a faith seed that we're going to reach the end of the year. By the end of the year, it was, how much is the well? 4,800, we're at 33 something. So by the end of the year, before the end of the year, we want to have that paid off. And that says we'll have a well somewhere in some part of the country. I don't, that's Life Outreach is who we go through. They call this week and thank us for our gifts and giving. But, somewhere in Africa, I assume, we'll have a well. And every time somebody goes to the well and turns the crank, it'll be blessing and glory to God. And you will get part of the credit every time they turn that on and put their cup under the well. So thank you, for giving to the Lord and help us reach our goal and have that, paid off by the end of the year. That's one of our financial goals for our missions. Everybody have your word today? You ready to learn? I'm excited about the word today. We're going to go back to Now That's Ministry. And we're going to look at a classic story. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many has ever heard of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan. How many knows where it's at in the Bible? So just look it up, okay? I'm going to wait on you. Just look it up. It's on page 1402, if you have my version. All right, it's in Luke, the 10th chapter. How many knows where Luke is? That's New Testament, right? I love how you bring your Bible and learn. I like to mark mine up. I just mark stuff. I marked stuff in there this week when I was studying about this message and put new thoughts and new things in there. So I hope you do too. Pastor Jack. Yeah, can you turn me up a little bit? Am I talking louder now? That may be too loud. I'll try to be consistent today. It's hard when you're preaching the word because it's exciting and it's, and all. But, anyway, we're going to Luke, the 10th chapter. And we're going to look at, the Good Samaritan. And we're all familiar with the story. So let me just set a little background before we get into the story. Every time we read a story, we need to kind of know why it's there, right? And so if we'll back up before the story, I want to show you the setting of it. In verse 25, Luke 10:25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law, and what is your reading of it? And so he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, Jesus says, You have answered rightly, do this, and you will live. And so here's the setting of this story. He says, but he wanting to justify himself. How many knows there are times when you and I, we look at what God's word says and we want to justify ourselves. We want to, you know, when he says to pay the tithe, we want to justify why we don't pay tithe. When he says love your enemies, we want to justify why I could love them normally, but not this one. If there's anybody but them, I could do that. Lord, you understand, don't you? You did create this person, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know. So whatever it is, we want to justify ourselves, and that's what he was before we get too holy. I just thought I'd let you know that we do the same thing. And so he said, he wanted to justify me. Who is my neighbor? That's a good question, isn't it? Who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? How many knows this is God's, the earth is God's footstool, and He's in charge, and this is His planet, and so we're all neighbors here. There's other planets, there are other galaxies, and heaven is another place that we'll, our next visit, hopefully, if you've received Christ as your Savior, and He's, because He's already paved the way for you to go to heaven, it's our responsibility to receive Him and His works, and so that should be our next journey. And if you're here this morning and it's not because you've not received Him, or you're carrying something in your heart, it'd be a good day to just lay it down and say, I just think I'll just go into heaven. And make that today. But He says, who is your neighbor? And so, He says, then Jesus said to him, and he begins the story. That's your neighbor. Here's what I feel about the planet. This planet belongs to my daddy, and I can play all over this planet. How many feel that way? And if you belong to Jesus, you're my brother and sister, and you have rights to it too. If you don't, then you really don't. I mean, you know, you're here for a while, but the next phase should be from here into eternal glory, not eternal damnation. So, but I just feel like we can enjoy the planet because this belongs to my dad, my father. That's when I go to different, in November we're going to Spain, which belongs to my father, and have Thanksgiving with my son. And we'll still be on Dad's territory. See? So it's we need to remember we serve a big God, because I'm going to talk to you today about, now that's ministry. That's ministry. Now if you really want to do ministry, you need to know who you belong to and where you're at. You're on your father's planet that he owns and he's taking care of. And someday he's going to purge it. You think it's dirty? You think it's all the disease, all the stuff? Someday, the Bible says in Peter, he's going to purge it all out with fire. And restore everything. And it'll be back to the way it was in Eden, you know. But right now, we have problems, but it's still our playground, still our planet. It's still supposed to take care of it and tend it. And so, from that setting, to know who you are in Christ is very important. He said, a certain man, verse 30, went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. When I was studying, I got very tickled at that statement. How dead is he? Well, he's half dead. That just struck me as funny. I've never thought about that before. How much is half dead? Is that unconscious? Is that a big gash on your head? Last night we were at a family gathering, and one of my nieces said a couple of times, and I got distracted. I didn't get to rib her about this, but I thought of what a unusual. She said, he drowned dead. He drowned dead, you know, and she said that twice, and I thought, well, when you drown, we assume he's dead. But it's funny, and this is one of those statements. He was leaving him half dead. And so I assume he's unconscious because he's laying there naked and he's not moving. It doesn't say how severe and how long he's unconscious and all, but he left him there half dead. Now, by chance, how many has ever just happened to be by chance? It's not your normal path. It's not where you go, but by chance you happened up on something. Maybe some of you have done that. When I was a teenager, I was in my car. And 15 and a half years old, I had a driver's permit. I didn't have my license yet, but I did have I think it was a licensed driver beside me, another individual, because I tried to always keep a kid or adult or somebody with a license in there. I didn't always achieve that. We grew up in the country in small towns, so we had a little more leeway than what they do now. But I was driving along with one of my friends, and we were coming down 177, and there was a pickup truck was on the side of the road here. And this was a usual route of ours, but it wasn't a normal time. And so by chance, we drove up, and this truck was sitting here, and I could see something red just above the window. And then there was another car over to this side of the road. And then up out of the culvert, a man came up, and he was running beside. I had a little Mustang, 65, 67 Mustang, whatever I used to own. It was my first car. Three-shift, 289 on the floor. Oh, I know, it was awesome. And so I'm in my car, and we're just putting along, and all of a sudden this guy pops up out of the culvert, the little ditch we call it, and he starts knocking on my window and saying, Jack, stop! And he's got blood all over his face, and I can't tell who he is. And it just freaked me out, because this guy that I don't know is calling my name, just blood soaked, and he's running along beside my car. We've slowed down because we can see there's something, but I didn't see this accident happen. And so anyway, it was a gentleman I'd met in a small town a few weeks earlier that I didn't recognize, because he was just mangled, you know, he told me who he was. And then we realized, as I got out of the car, he was in a lumber truck, and he'd been delivering some lumber, and it was way out in the pasture, and it was upside down, and all you could see is the bottom side of that truck that had turned over in a trench out there. And when I got out, it was one of my distant cousins was in the truck, and just to save gruesome details, he had literally just decapitated himself. The truck smashed his head, and there was all kinds of stuff on the street, but it just shook me down to my core as a 15-year-old kid. And sometimes we're like that, and we never know what we're going to do or how we're going to react. And then and we hadn't been there long, and I talked to my cousin that had been decapitated. His wife was in the other seat, the passenger seat. And she began to come to, and I thought, oh, God, she's going to see her husband in this condition. But she never came to enough. She'd just kind of come in and out. And so I talked to her just a minute. She'd fade back out, and then the ambulance came. And then to top it all off, their son, Dave, was down to the little community store a few miles, and he had heard there's a wreck. And so he comes pulling up before the ambulance can get his dad out of the vehicle. And so I just ran down to where he had parked, and I told him, I said, it's bad, Dave. You've lost your dad, and your mom's going to the hospital. You need to go take care of your mom. That's what you need to do right now. Just go home and go call your folks. There's nothing you can do for your dad. And this 15-year-old kid, I was pretty proud as I look back to say I had this much presence of mind, but I'm telling this guy, and so, because I didn't want him seeing his dad in this shape. And so that's one of my journey. And this is what this guy, he's there, and he's probably bloody and ribs broken and a gash on his head and dirt and all this mixed in. And so those kind of moments happen to us. And they're traumatic. And it took me a while as a young teenager to get over what I saw. But I did. God helped me with that. But that was one of my chances. It wasn't a normal time that I'd been on that street, but I was. And God used me to help their family. And he thanked me later on. He said, thank you for helping me and knowing what to do at that time. And he's a grown man, you know. And so God will use you when you come along chances like this. That's ministry. That's ministry. It's when you're really needed to stand up and be all that God wants you to be, and not be concerned about you, but be concerned about others. I see sometimes, and it concerns me, when Christians, we lose a loved one, we go through traumatic times, and ministry all of a sudden becomes all about how I feel and me, and we exercise these emotions in front of our family in an unhealthy way. That's not ministry. That's selfishness. And we need to grow past that, and not to minimize how death and tragedy will affect us in any way. It's not to minimize that, but it's to say that there's a time we need to grow past that and say, in the trench times when we come upon something like this, God, let me be ministry. Let me be light and salt when light and salt is needed in a powerful way. And how many knows that God will help you if we have that much focus about being love and light and salt and light instead of being, oh, how it affected me. So here he is, and he's left half dead, and by chance, this is evidently, it's not his normal routine, it's not his normal path, it's by chance he came by. And how many knows probably a normal routine or certain path for this guy would be in the church, in the ministry circles. That's a path that he's running and he's consistent with, but now he's come upon something that's inconsistent with his ministry. And most of the times, how many would just say as a survey real quickly, how many would say you'd put this priest in a bad light just in his introduction to Scripture? He only gets one shot at it, far as we know. But this is all you know about the guy. How many would want this to be your priest? That's a little unfair, isn't it? It's a little unfair. And the Bible says you that judge do the same thing. So let me give you a scenario. We're in Guatemala. See, we go to Guatemala couple of times a year, usually with teams and do ministry. So we're in Guatemala. You went with us. And somehow or another, you got off the beaten path, and by chance, you came along, and there's a Guatemalan or somebody that you don't identify laying there beat up and dead on the path. How many would just stop and help them if you were in an unfamiliar place? by chance you happen by and you see this person laying there on the ground and you hear something in the bushes. How many would just kind of keep running to call 911? Well, you'd probably be more like the priest than you think. Because he probably would, it probably that he wasn't, didn't lack compassion, but he, you know, this is, how many knows, here's what you do ministry by. You do ministry by your core values. In fact, you live life by your core values. You may not even be able to name them, but I can stay around you for a little while and I can tell you what part of them are and what part of them are not. And I'm just assuming this priest, he's looking at something he's not familiar with. Now, he's familiar with blood and guts because they do sacrificial lambs and bulls. And so he's used to blood and guts and sprinkling the blood on the altar. That's a familiar sight to him, but not when it comes to a human. He's in an unfamiliar place. And he's got the call of God to teach the word and to carry out the sacrifices, not to rescue people in physical condition. Michelle Ferris is a nutritionist. She's going to be helping me next week and she's going to help rescue you physically. Everybody say, thank you, Michelle. How many knows the holidays are upon us? She's going to rescue us physically. Doesn't mean you can't eat turkey, right? We can eat turkey, right? Just have to eat a little less. Here's our normal routine. Is this your normal routine at Thanksgiving? Oh, I ate too much. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. See, we're just trying to head that off. So she will rescue physically next week. But this man is used to rescuing people spiritually. And this is out of his... And so it would be maybe something like that. He's out of his element. He's away from the temple. And he's looking. And now fear probably grips his heart. And he doesn't even stop. He sees him, but he passes on by. We were at a little gas station a couple of weeks or so ago and I pulled in there. We just left my sister's house and it's on Saturday night and we pulled in at this little station down the street and Jan said, I think I'm going to go and use the restroom while you fill up our bike and our motorcycle. And I said, okay. And so she got off the bike and walked maybe from here to Randy and she turned around and come back. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, I'm not going to the restroom here. And I looked up and right here in front of us was a couple of Hispanic guys and evidently they were intoxicated because they were just making some noises and racket and just kind of, you know, being rowdy and nothing toward us, but you know, and then I looked up on the little storefront and there was another big guy sitting there and he was just looking around. He was looking and I don't know why he's looking, but he's just looking, you know, and he looked in the store and it made her uncomfortable. So she came back and she got on the motor. I said, well, I'll go with you as soon as I get my gas pumped. I said, it's okay. She said, no, I just want you to get the gas and let's go. See, at that moment, a core value of Jana's was safety. It's safety. And that's probably a core value of this priest at that moment. His core value, and I'm sure he had unconditional love for people. He had some sort of something. He's immersed himself in the Word of God and giving his life. So I'm sure he had love and compassion to some degree. But at that moment, safety, that core value just shot to the top. And it does the same with you and me at times, right? I mean, just be honest. It, you know, I heard a story about the revisiting about it happened like in Queens or somewhere where there was 20-something people watched and heard the screams of a young lady that never even called 911. It's an old event, but they're revisiting that and talking about why people won't get involved. Didn't even call, from the safety of their home, didn't even call 911. That says something about core values in our country. And so here we are. And so when she got back to the bike and she sat down and got climbed back on, then one of the guys that was there pumping gas or leaned up against the car, one of the two, there was a young lady off in the kind of the, it was a dimly lit area, and she was walking along, and one of them starts saying, "Woo! Hey, baby!" or whatever they're saying in Spanish, and kind of giving this, and I thought, oh, God. Please don't let them try nothing, because I know, you know I'll have to get involved. Oh. Now, I had compassion. I had compassion, and I had love for her, and you know, as another human being, but I didn't want to get involved. There's two of them, and there's one of me and Jan, and she's afraid. So before we get too holy, I just want you to know, I didn't want to get involved. So I'm like, oh God, don't let them do anything. Because I can't stand by. One of my core values is if I'm in the area and you're getting beat up, I'm just going to have to help you. And if I get beat up, I probably won't like you anymore, but I still got to help you. We pulled up at school one day and my kids were little and they came out and got in the car. And as I was waiting, I looked up and there was a younger man, had an older man on the ground, and he was kicking him just bam, bam. And I, about the third time he kicked him, I got out of my car and I walked up and I got in his face and I said, don't do that anymore. He said, no. I said, I don't care what he did. He's done. You've made your point. Now don't do that anymore. I'm going to get involved. And I thought, and we just squared off, you know, and so he went on and I thought, thank you, Lord. I felt like I had a bird dog one time. I felt like this bird dog. It was a Brittany. And he would jump the fence. And his name was Mike. I called him Mike. And he'd jump the fence. Good dog, but he had a little field behind our house. And he'd go out there and he would hunt, you know. And he didn't hurt anything. And he'd come back in. And so, but I watched him one day and he was over the fence. And I walked out on the back porch and there was a big St. Bernard come just bolting up there to where he was and stood there in front of Mike. And old Mike goes, boom. And he just froze. And the big St. Bernard walked around him and he goes. And he watched him, but he didn't move. But he just stood there and I thought, wow, he's really not afraid, is he? And he's going to stand in his ground. And the St. Bernard just finally just started trotting off. And as soon as he got out about 20 feet, Mike goes, bam, and just bolted for the gate. And jumped over the fence. That's the way I felt like. Whew, they didn't do anything. You know. But that's a core value of mine is I value human life and dignity. And so if I'm in the vicinity, I'll just probably have to say something, even if I don't want to. But that's my makeup. That's my core value. And if it's not yours, you would probably do something. Maybe you would do like the priest. You would feel for them, but it's just not a core value, so you just keep walking. Maybe there's people right now that you need to witness to, but you just don't have that core value built in you that says, you know what, I can do this. Your core value is I value my feelings and how it will make me feel, or the fear of rejection, maybe it's a core value that you don't speak it, but it's there. And so you, instead of telling them what you think you need to tell them, you just walk on by. You look at them and you want to tell them, but you just, you know, for their own good, for you know, it would edify, build them up, but you just can't say anything. Maybe it's a family member that just ruins the holidays and no one will say anything because that's the way they are. You know, if I'm in the room and what needs to be said, I'm going to say it. I just value life, you know. I had a little, it wasn't a premonition really, but Friday night we came home, we went to dinner and went to a movie. And we came home and an old friend had called in that evening and wanted to go bike riding. And he'd been over in Kuwait and in Baghdad, in that area, and for some time. And so he's back and he rides bike. And so we met up with him yesterday. And I knew what was going on bike ride. And a thought just rushed to the front of my mind as Dan and I was preparing to go to bed. One of you may not be here at this time tomorrow night. I thought, wow. The first thing I thought about is the bike. You know, you hear motorcycles. Oh, them motorcycles are dangerous. So I thought, well, And I didn't tell Jana. Because she's not real compassionate when I tell her stupid stuff like that. In fact, I told her after we got home safely last night about just around midnight. That went our last trip. She said, well, don't tell me that crap. That's her compassionate statement to me. I said, I'm just telling you, we made it home, and I just had this thought, but it rushed. And what do you do with things like that when they rush to the forefront of your mind? What do you do with it? I don't know, but I just, my value, my one of my core values is to live life. Just, I love life, and I'm going to live life. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to minister, and I'm going to study, and I'm going to be a good student of God's Word, but I'm going to have fun. You can have fun or just be sad. That's you. But I'm going to have fun. So we got on our bike yesterday and we went walking and or went to the gym and here's another core value of mine. Another core value of mine is family. I love family. Don't you love family? I love you. You're my family, my church family. And I just love you guys and build relationships with you and you know and all. But I just love family and so Jana, she likes to do aerobics and in summertime we'll always walk and then she does aerobics usually and she said, "Why don't you do them with me?" And now I can do aerobics. I might just bring a chair and show them next week. They think that's funny. You think that's funny. Look at her smiling over there. I could do aerobics. Right foot, bum, 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 bum. Left foot, you know, and I'm just, so, but it's all full of women. I said, "Well, is there any guys that come?" "I don't know. It don't matter. You'll be there." I said, "Yeah, it don't matter to you because if it's a room full of guys, it'd be different." So I said, "Okay, I'll go with you." So I spent about an hour and 15, 20 minutes, whatever we did yesterday, doing aerobics with my wife. And then when we get through, we get on our bike and we're headed out. And as soon as we get to Crossroads Mall, traffic in front of us just bolted to a stop. Our bike stops almost on a dime because I always use both brakes. It's just something I got in the habit of doing. And so we shut it down. She's coming up. She's like, "What?" You know, and so that thought came back to me. "Oh, that thought you had last night. One of you may not be here." And all of a sudden from behind us, I hear, I thought, "Oh, this is it, this is it." And I look in my mirror, and that guy got stopped. And I thought, "He'll be my buffer, he'll be my buffer." Thank you, Lord, you know. That's compassionate, isn't it? Glad it's him, not me, you know. And then I hear a screeching behind him. And then they finally kind of all settled down. And we took on off. And I still didn't tell her about my little thought that I had. And so we had a good ride with our friend. And so we got home, and I thought, well, we made it home in our bike, and God give us a safe journey in our car. But I have a value to live life, and I'm not. If I have a thought, I'm going to go out having fun. Now I'm not going to ignore something if I feel like it's a warning from God not to do something. That's tempting God. But you know what? That's a core value of mine. And so we went out and had fun last night, and went to a little family event. She said we just drained this day of fun, didn't we? I said, "We did, man, from morning to night. It's a great day." But it's a core value of mine, and so that's why that all happened yesterday. See? Let me say this, and we'll go into the story. If there's an area in your life that you struggle with, you need to change your core values. If you struggle with fear, listen, that's not a core value from God. That may be inherited, that may be something you've accumulated over a series of years. But if you've got a fear in your life, that's not healthy, and you shouldn't allow that to stay. You need to change that. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. See? So phrases like that should be involved in your core value system. If you're having relational problems all the time, there's something in your core value, and it's probably due to selfishness. That one's hard, isn't it? But if you're always having problems in your relationships, there's a core value inside of you that says, you know what, you've got your core values mixed up. Unconditional love, that should be one of our core values, right? And I'm not saying this priest didn't have it, but by chance a certain priest came down and wrote, and when he saw him, he just passed right on by. And that's what some of you would probably do. That's what I might do in a given situation if fear gripped my heart. So let's don't be judgmental. Likewise, a Levite, verse 32, when he arrived at the place, my version, I'm using the New King James, says, he came and looked. And I just get this mental picture in my mind that he came over and he kind of turns him over and just kind of gets around his face and looks and says, "I don't know him." "It's not one of mine, thank you, Lord." And that's the way some of you are. Your core value says, if it was family, I would risk. I would take the risk of being mugged myself if it was family. If it was one of my children, if it's my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, if it was one of our own, you have a high core value of family, so you say, "I would risk it if it was family." Some of you moms, you're just like a grizzly bear when people mess with your kids. You know, core value, man. You love them kids and mamas will get you. Guy was on TV a while back and he was talking about he just rubbing noses with bears and he's coming in his house and they're eating out of his hand and doing a great job. But one of his fears was one day he showed him out in the woods and he said, "Oh, I've broke the code. I've got in between a mama and her cubs." And he was afraid. This guy was, he was like the bear whisperer, but he was scared to death because he got in between a mama and her cubs. And you could tell. And so he's just easing out, you know, and mama's looking and you can tell. She's like, "My babies. You do see my babies, don't you? You know I will slap your head off, right?" And he's just backing off, you know. Well, what's the core value of that bear? That's her cubs. That's her unconditional love for her cubs. See? So even the animal kingdom have core values. And so he comes and he looks, and his core values, you can tell, is just a little different because he came and at least he looked. He took time to look. Maybe one of his core values is curiosity. I can't help but look. Even if, kind of like I heard a story one time. Guy comes out of the, he's getting ready to go into this, get out of the car. He's going up the sidewalk and there's a wood fence here. And he's going into this mental institution and he hears 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. And there's a little peephole there, and finally his curiosity gets the best of him. So he goes over and looks in the hole, and somebody pokes him in the eye, and he hears 13, 13, 13, 13. Some of you are like that man. It's your makeup, you know. It's just like a core value almost, that it's curious. You're curious, George. And so he had a little more, I guess, than the priest. He looked, you know, and this is a guy that's used to doing a lot of work around the temple and administrative type things around the temple, the Levite. And so, but he looked. But he passed by on the other side. Once he gets his glance, he looks. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. See, this guy's driven by his core value. He's on his way to somewhere. He's not just happened by chance. He just didn't come by this way. He's on a journey. Can I tell you something? So are you and me. We're on a journey. When you drive up on something, when you come across something that's uncomfortable, when it's maybe it's chaotic, it's maybe it's even dangerous, you know what? You're on a journey. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. And we're made good and righteous by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so everybody in this room should be, their steps should be ordered. So when we're coming, we're on a journey. We're not just somebody out there lost, wandering around. As a Christian that's obedient to the Holy Spirit and to God's direction, we're on a journey today. Cliff and Thelma saw another man that had cancer. I heard he testified here when we were gone, but they were on a journey. They weren't just happened to be at this place. They were in prayer, and it was his name Clarence, and they saw him in there, and she felt compelled. This is a man that's laying there, maybe half dead, you could say. And she felt compelled, like the Good Samaritan, to go over and say, "Excuse me," and she introduced herself and prayed for him, and now his cancer's gone. Because somebody's on a journey, not just on chance. I just didn't happen. Oh, we're just here because of bad luck, or this terrible thing has happened to my husband. We're on a journey. We still got blessing and salt and light, even though we're going through it. We still got the power of the Holy Spirit. We still got ministry to do, and we're on a journey. We're not just walking through life saying, "Poor, pitiful us," because something has happened to us that hadn't happened to you. You're on a journey. And so when God introduces you to people, there might be something He wants you to say. There might be somebody He wants you to pick up and clean up and pour wine and oil in, just like this man did. Are you with me? We aren't on a journey. Yeah. We're on a journey. And how many knows, we call this guy the Good Samaritan. In fact, we do Christmas with shoe boxes and things, and we'll be introducing that in the next week or so, and are expecting you to bring your boxes in and things, and so... And then he's got a Samaritan's purse that does other ministries. I wonder where he got that from. Samaritan's purse. I mean, those, the Samaritan had a purse just like the priest and the Levite, but his was a good purse. He dug down in his purse, and when the guy needed something, he gave for that, and then he dug down some more and gave some more for the next day. That's why Franklin Graham calls it the Samaritan's purse. You know. And so he got a reputation, and like at the heading of my Bible, it says the Good Samaritan. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody in this room, you all have a reputation. Here's what I think about my reputation, and here's what you think about my reputation. But don't despair. Here's where you are with your reputation, and here's what the rest of us think about you. So it all balances out, doesn't it? But guess who gets to write your reputation? You don't get to write your reputation. I don't get to write my reputation. Guess who writes your reputation? We do. We get to write your reputation. You already got a rep with God. God says He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to you. When it comes to rep and God, it's way up even above your own things. That's why He put in there, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Come on, because some of you think about this much of yourself. He said, don't work. It'll be out of balance, and you'll never be any good for the kingdom if you don't love yourself. That's why I get on my motorcycle and ride. I love myself. Should you be interceding in prayer? Nope, not today. What are you doing? I'm loving myself. And my wife, you okay, honey? Yeah, I'm okay. Just let me know if you need to stop. But I'll tell you one thing I am. I'm a happy camper. And my joy don't depend on you. Because some of you tried to take it and you couldn't. Because I wasn't there when you had your great moment. Listen, I'm going to tell you who was there when you had your great moment. Jesus was there when you had your great moment and I wasn't there. And when I die, I hope you know, and I want to train you to the place where you don't have to call on Jack, you call on Jesus. That's good stuff, I'm telling you. Now, and it's not that I don't love you and I won't try to be there for your occasions. That's part of the call. But the most of my call is to equip you from the Word of the Living God. And to know that my prayer isn't any more powerful than your prayer. And I probably will never make the Good Samaritan because of that, but that's I will have fun. And I will feel good about the ministry I do. Because it's not determined by how you feel or how you recommend. And I take all your recommendations, but it's conditioned on my relationship with Christ. I'm on a journey, folks. You're on a journey. And you only know how God has equipped you to do your journey. So do your journey. Do your journey. So he comes by and he's on a journey. And when he saw him, here's the core value. He had compassion. That's a core value this man had. Compassion. And we call him the Good Samaritan. But I know human nature. When he walked by and he saw that wounded, naked body laying there, half dead. I just, in human nature teaches us that that man didn't say, oh, I want to stop and help him. That man had the same thoughts the priest and the Levi had. I wonder where they're at. Somebody did this to him. I wonder if they're watching. That's human nature. There's not one of us could walk by something like that in a remote place with trees and all the stuff that's around them and not think and wonder, where are those that did this? Are they close by and am I next? That's human nature. So we need to remember the Good Samaritan was a Good Samaritan, but this Good Samaritan had to conquer his fear. This Good Samaritan had to conquer all of his want-tos. I would rather just run for my life, and safety came to the top, just like it did with the priest and the Levite. We're all human. Jesus proved that when he was in the garden and he was saying, God, if there's another way this can be done, let's do it that way. I don't want to die for Jack today. We're all human. So we all have those kind of thoughts. Jesus had to suppress them. He said, nevertheless. I think that's what the Good Samaritan had to say is, nevertheless. There's a guy in need and and I know my safety's in jeopardy, and I know I'm on a schedule. I'm on a journey. I've got an appointment here ahead of me, and I've got things I need to do. Nevertheless, what would you have me to do today? How many knows when you're going to be a good Samaritan, you gotta interrupt your schedule? And if you don't have it in your core values, you won't let things interrupt your schedule. I'll guarantee you that. I mean, we see somebody on the side of the road. Well, I wish I could help them. I'm in a hurry. Some of you are so busy, if you saw Grandma, I'll call. <You know. laughs> I mean, you know, we just get busy. We get busy. I'm coaching one of our national leaders in a different denomination, and he kept bringing up the statement, I'm busier than a bumblebee. I'm busier than a one-armed paper hanger. I'm busy. And about a third or fourth time, I said, we got a pattern here. He said, what? I said, you're busy, aren't you? Yeah. He said, that's a good thought. I said, well, let's talk about that. See? Because, of course, what happens, we all get busy, and we forget to love people, and we forget to have fun, and we forget to love those that mean the most to us and spend time with them and guard that schedule, and we forget to put our heart into our work because we'd rather be somewhere else, and we get everything out of balance, and then all of a sudden we're a mess. And then we don't know about our core values. We don't know, they used to be, but I don't know where it is. I'm just, scattered. But this man was on a journey, and he came, and he looked on him, and he had compassion. It reveals his core value. And compassion says, over my safety, over my meeting that I'm going to, over everything else, I've got to stop, and I have to help him now. I just want you to know, and human nature says, that it was hard for the Good Samaritan to be good. It wasn't easy. You think, well, that's just his nature. No, it wasn't. Compassion was a core value that drove him to do what he did, and even over his safety. We've invited some of you to go to Guatemala and different places we've gone. You say, no, I don't think so. It's dangerous. Guess what your core value is? Safety. When we went to Europe in 01, right after the bombing was, or the towers went down in 01, in September and November, that next Thanksgiving, we went to Europe to see our son to have Thanksgiving with him. And I can never forget my dad saying, oh, son, you don't want to do that. I said, oh, Dad, yes, I do. My kid, my grandbabies are there, and I'm going. Well, you know, what if? I said, well, I'm going home. I'm going to my son's home or my dad's home, but I'm going home. Thanksgiving. And that didn't, fear, that didn't distract me because I had a family core value that said, I'm going to see them. I don't get to see them like once a year, every 2 years, and I'm going to go. I've got opportunity. The tickets are set before disaster struck, and disaster's not changing who I am. Now, if I thought it was dangerous and I'm not going to put myself out there and all that stuff, but I knew that there was risk, but I also knew that I have some loved ones I want to see. Core value drove me to the airport and me and Janet and over to Europe. Family. 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 So he's there and he has compassion. So he went, verse 34, to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. See all the time and the resources that took? Man, it takes a lot of time and resources, doesn't it? And then, here's another core value that it gives us a little light to who this man was. On the next day, everybody say the next day. I mean, no, he's already interrupted your meeting, your day, your time, your resources. But now, what are you going to do the next day? You know what this is called? He had an extra mile core value. Extra mile core value. The Bible says that one version says this, the military asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. You know, when you're asked to go a mile, they call it the extra mile. I love Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar says, there is never a traffic jam on the extra mile. That's pretty good, isn't it? there's never a traffic jam on the extra mile. And that's one of his core values is, I know. And he could have left. Man, couldn't he have left? He says, man, I rescued him from death. I put him on my own animal, preferred him above myself. And now I've ushered him into town. I've put him up for the night and poured oil and wine into his wound. And he'll, you know, I mean, who else would, you couldn't expect anything else from him, could you? A total stranger? But he says, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, Living Bible says, 2 $20 bills, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him and whatever more, not only the next day, but whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So he's not on an extra mile, he's an extra mile kind of guy. How many would just like to have him for a neighbor? His core values are right. Well, let me say this. Your neighbors would love to have this kind of neighbor as well. That's a little funnier, isn't it, when you put it that way? And how many knows God has given you the power and resources to be that kind of neighbor? I found it amusing when Jesus says in verse 36, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And this Jewish lawyer wouldn't even speak a name Samaritan. I mean, they wouldn't even speak the name. So he says, the lawyer says, he who showed mercy to him. So saying, well, it's the Samaritan in this case. He couldn't even bring that out of his mouth. Because remember what he brought up in the first place was, who is your neighbor? What if he's not a Jew? So Jesus turns it around, so now he's got a Jewish man laying there, or someone of some that should be helped, but he doesn't use a fellow Jew, he uses a Samaritan, which would be considered somewhat of a dog to them to help, and he's the good guy in the story. And the guy can't speak his name, he said, but I suppose it's the one who helped the man. Here's what I'm going to leave you with today. As you look at your core values, which one most resembles you? When your neighbor calls, when you see somebody in need, which one most resembles you? What is your reputation? Good Samaritan? Priest or Levi? Priest would assume in this story is the one that's the farthest away because he just looked and kept on walking or just glanced and saw him and just kept on walking, just very uncommitted. Maybe the Levi, he came and looked. You know, he's, at least there's something in there. Maybe he wanted to know if he's breathing or what to report to the officials. We don't know, but which one are you? Are you like the Good Samaritan when you see, and I know we live in a world where there's so many people that are just sponging off the church. I know that. We have people in our family that sponge off whomever they can sponge off. I know all that. And for you that cannot say no, he said, don't give under compulsion. You know, check your heart. Check your heart. I talked to my son. My son's 36 years old. On the phone with him this morning. It's Talon's birthday, so I got on the phone and I sang a really silly get down your face, happy birthday to my grandson. He's laughing, saying, thank you, Papa. Because I'm just, happy birthday, you know, just bearing down and stuff, and we're having fun with him. So when we get off the phone, my son gets on the phone, and he says, you know, the military's offered me this big cash lump sum if I'll stay in for 5 more years, and it'll affect this part of my portfolio, and I don't know what to do, Dad. And I thought, core values. I'm getting ready to preach this to you, and I thought, core values. I said, you know, you'll know in your heart. Read the fine print and see how that lines up with what you're trying to do. Long term, short term. If you got your long term taken care of, let me know it's a core value. You value future, you value good stewardship. And I said, if that's all taken care of, and this will be something that, because he's wanting to buy a house when he gets back in the States. They've been traveling all over the world for the last 14 years. And he said, that'd be a big down payment on the house. And so I said, just, you'll know in your heart. But just look it over real well. I said, can I pray over you, son? He said, yeah, that'd be great. So I prayed over him. And then I had our prayer partners pray over him this morning in our prayer room. But if you just do that as we close, just examine for a minute. Let's just bow your head and think about your core values for just a minute. Just ask the Lord, God, which one do I look most like? The priest that just barely gives a glance when I see a need because I'm so concerned about my own well-being? And do I look more like the Levite that at least I'll go and check it out? Or do I look like the priest, the Samaritan that will stop and when I need to stop? And I'm available to you. My purse is available to you. My resources is available to you. My ride is available to you. Sometimes, Lord, it's all about us and we look like the priest because we just walk on by. When we know we have obligations, responsibilities, and we just walk on by. We just head on out because that's the way we feel, Lord. And we just, it's not about us and that's not to concern me. And so we just walk on out and just do our own thing. And we look just like the priest. That's the way I feel. Sometimes we look and watch and study and then just say, well, it's not really worth the effort. And so we just go on down the path. But I pray for each of us in here, Lord, to say, you know what? We're not that kind of character in this story. This is our life and we're living it and we only get one shot. And God, we desire. I don't think there's a person in here this morning that doesn't desire to be the Good Samaritan, to be that, to have that kind of core values that says, I'm on a journey. Nothing happens by chance in my life, and God is in charge of my life. As I take this awesome journey, He'll send some tragedy, some people that are in need, some people that are ugly, you know, to me and abuse me, but nothing is by chance. We're on a journey. As I take this journey, Lord, let me offer up whatever I have to You to be light and salt, to heal the wounded and the broken and the hurting. That may be even lashing out to us, but we can tell they're hurting. They have great needs. Just happen to be in the vicinity and they lashed out at us. But God, I see them for who they are. Oh yeah, Lord, and remind us that the guy in the story, sometimes we stress about our resources, but remind us the guy in the story had plenty of money and plenty to take care of needs that might even occur. Remind us, Lord, that our purse isn't filled until we turn it loose. This guy had plenty, Lord, because that's the kind of guy he was. And he said, if I see a need, I'll meet it. Help us do that so You can pour into us. And so we can pour more back out into our sphere of influence. God, we desire to be the Good Samaritan. We want to hear when we cross over into eternity, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And so help us today. Shine a spotlight on our core values and what drives us. And I pray if we're too busy to help people, we're too busy to get involved, too timid to say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, too afraid to let go of some little resource because we might not have enough of our own. Help us, God, to be like the Good Samaritan. That realize every time we pour ourselves out, You're going to feel that multiplied in our own life, whether it's our resources, our time, our talent, our gifts, whatever it is, You're just going to replenish that in like a flood because we can't outgive You. So shine a light in our heart. Lord, forgive us today for passing by when we should have stopped. For not doing what we knew needs to be done. From this day forward, Lord, we repent. And we ask You to give us the boldness and the courage and the trust that we can be like the Good Samaritan. giving and doing and saying what needs to be done and said and given. Thank you, Lord, for helping us grow today, examining our hearts. Forgive us for where we failed. But today, Lord, help us to take on new core values that will guide us and lead us for the rest of our journey. In Jesus' name. While Christians praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ in your life to be Lord and Savior, this would be a great day to change everything. If He's not Savior and Lord of your life today, would you just lift your hand? I'd like to just lead you in a prayer. And today He can become the boss, the master, the Savior of your soul, and the leader of your journey. Is there one today and you need that prayer before we dismiss? You want to make Him Lord and Savior of your life? Okay, everybody good with that? Well then, Heavenly Father, we thank You for challenging us today with Your Word. And Father, I think I speak for the congregation when I say we receive Your challenge today, Lord. We don't build our own reputation, so we want to start building it today. The comments of others are saying, that person, when they speak about us, is a good person. That person is what a Christian should look like. That person is a true follower of Jesus Christ. Going into the holidays, Lord, we ask You to help us to be light and salt mostly. To love people like they've never been loved. To love them like the Good Samaritan loved them. There'll be a lot of wounded people around us these holidays. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. Help us to reach out and pour in the oil and the wine just like He did. So we can have a rep that matches the Good Samaritan. In Jesus' name, amen. If it's your first time visiting, I'd like to meet you right over here. We've got a little gift for you. And I'd like to see you right over here. If you're interested in becoming a member today, I'd like to let you know that Wednesday nights we're going through the class, the Starting Point class. It's from 7 to 8. And we invite you to come out and to be a part of the class so you can become a member here at Prayer of Faith if you don't have a home church. God bless, and we'll see you Wednesday night.